By now, you've probably already heard about the LA fire. What I want to show you is some things I found this morning that you may not have heard of. First, I want to remind you that for some time, Los Angeles has been part of the C40 Cities Initiative. This is the smart city plan for the entire world. This video from this morning reminded me so much of Lahaina that I decided to do a lot of deep digging. So I wasn't at all surprised when I found this. On this one too. Pacific Palisades was supposed to have a board meeting in February regarding some new legislation. But by far, the most disturbing thing I found was this right here, Smart LA 2028. I don't want to leave anything out. This is a video I took yesterday morning, driving down the 5 South. Take a good look at this cloud. No bioengineering, of course, although they spray constantly, every single day. It's just a very strange looking cloud. Looks like a circle.
Yeah, nothing is ever what it seems, folks. It's never what we're told. So it's been a few weeks since I've done a video. As I mentioned to you, I was going traveling and I just needed some time off. And as you can see where I've traveled to, you may recognize this place, folks. I've been here before. But I'm back here for the moment. And it's good to be back. I don't know how long I'm going to stay. It's very different to how I left it. The whole climate in Australia is just crazy. Control, massive amounts of control, massive amounts of surveillance, and just not a friendly atmosphere. You know, I still love the place. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I still love being here, I still love the country, I still love the people, but it's just changed. It's so expensive, incredibly expensive here to live now, folks. One of the highest costs of living in the world. Australia is one of the most resource-rich countries on earth, with one of the lowest populations on earth, and should therefore have the highest standard of living in the world, but it doesn't. It actually has the, I think, second highest cost of living in the world, I think second only to Singapore, which is of course ridiculously expensive. But yeah, back in Australia for the moment, folks, was an interesting journey to get back in here. I'll tell you a little bit about that a bit later in the video. But for now, yeah, I'm back. This is my shed where I was living. It's now a print shop. But that's just the way it goes. A few changes here, a couple of trees gone out of the yard and a few things like that. But on the whole, much the same place. And hasn't the world gone crazy since I did my last walk and talk? Trump is continuing to show us that he's a demented fool whose first allegiance lies with Israel. I mean, everything he's doing is supporting the Israeli state. I think he's given like $16 billion in aid to Israel now, which of course they're using to buy weapons, to continue their genocide. And what's happening in Palestine is horrendous. They're also bombing, like they're bombing Gaza again now. Of course, the ceasefire talks broke down, as we predicted they would, because Israel was never going to allow a ceasefire. That's not what Israel's about. Israel just wants to wipe the whole place out. Israel is currently bombing Lebanon, bombing Gaza, and bombing Syria. Of course, all in line with the Greater Israel Project. This is what we predicted they were going to do, and it's exactly what they're doing. And the treatment is horrendous. The treatment that the Palestinian people are receiving, you know, the Israelis are saying they're urging the Palestinians, the Gazans, they call them Gazans, to leave the combat zone. But of course, all of Gaza Strip is the combat zone, and if you move, they shoot you. That's just the way it goes. If they don't shoot you, they kidnap you. And what they're doing to the Palestinian prisoners they kidnap is absolutely horrendous. The amount of amputations that you're seeing among prisoners, all because of the way they're treated in custody. Check this out.
There are doctors reporting back to the United Nations on the inordinate number of amputations that are taking place among Palestinian prisoners. Unnecessary amputations. As soon as October 7th took place, the entire Israeli prison system enacted a new regulation that Palestinians who are incarcerated are not permitted to walk. Meaning, to get from point A to point B, you have to crawl on your hands and knees. And if you object, if you speak in more than a whisper, you're beaten with a truncheon or a piece of rebar. They'll break your legs, they'll break your arms, and then, God forbid, they'll amputate them because they become infected. Human rights violation that the entire world is overlooking, they're choosing to overlook. And criminally, the U.S. government has elected to just pretend it's not happening.
Yeah, that's the way the Israelis operate, folks. And this is why I've been speaking out about this so much, because it's such an important issue. And as I've said, if we don't deal with it, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And Trump is just showing that this is what his administration's all about. He's just a warmongering administration. They're bombing the Houthis. They're totally supporting the Israeli genocide of Palestine. And if you speak out against it, you are seen as being involved in hate speech, which is completely ridiculous. The hate speech is actually the government legislation which is preventing people from speaking out and calling the truth about what's happening. That itself is hate speech. Like the new hate speech laws here in Australia are pretty hateful in themselves. They're basically designed to prevent free thought, designed to prevent open discourse or discussion about anything that the government doesn't want you to discuss. If you discuss anything the government doesn't want you to discuss, it's determined to be hate speech. Figure that one out. But that's the way they're going with it, folks. And Trump is just pushing everything. He's pushing this whole Russia-Ukraine thing still. And, you know, they're de-escalating it a lot over there. I mean, ceasefires and all sorts of stuff. As we predicted that there would be a ceasefire, Trump will be seen as the savior and all of that sort of crap. He's deporting massive amounts of people out of the United States, anybody who protests against the Israeli genocide. He's not just deporting illegal immigrants, he's deporting legal immigrants and basically anybody who criticizes Israel, as is his plan, and as we predicted all along, folks. You know, it's just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. You know, Israel is carrying out a genocide and basically a world takeover, and nobody's allowed to question it. People are questioning it in their own way. I mean, a lot of people are arcing up about what Elon Musk has been doing as well. Of course, they're going out and destroying Tesla vehicles and Tesla dealerships and all sorts of stuff like that, which is completely ridiculous, folks. There's no need to get violent and go and smash up Tesla vehicles or Tesla dealerships. Just don't buy them. It's that simple. Just boycott the company. You don't have to create violence in doing so, because creating violence just plays into their hands. They get to bring in new legislation. They get to bring in more surveillance. They get to bring in all the stuff they want to bring in. Order out of chaos. That's how they want to do it, folks. You know, people go and attack the system and attack things in a physical way like that. They're just playing into their hands. I mean, the system is a fiction. If you're fighting the system, you're fighting a cloud. So why not just view the system as being a fiction and disassociate from it? Just don't have anything to do with it. I mean, that's the way I've always lived my life, and it seems to have worked quite well. But, you know, they want violence. They want to really bring the people to a point where they're going to rise up. I mean, what they're doing in Australia for you folks, I'm amazed that people haven't risen up already. But of course they can't, because the police here are so brutal and so brain dead, and they just want violence. They push for violence because that totally suits their agenda. So yeah, I mean, people are arcing up about Musk, but you know, they're doing it in the wrong way, folks. Like I said, just boycott his products. You don't have to smash up the vehicles. Just boycott the vehicles. Don't buy them. Just don't have anything to do with them. You know, and Trump is bringing down the world economy with what he's doing in his government. I mean, all the tariffs, you've seen all these tariff wars that are going on. He's talking about like 200% tariffs on things from Europe now. So like a bottle of wine from Europe, you're going to pay three times as much as what you did before. And it's all about making America great again. No, it isn't. It's about making Israel great again. That's what all of this is about, folks. That's what it's always been about. Yeah, well, it is good to be back here, though. It is good to be back. And just to get some closure. I mean, it's mainly why I came back. I wanted to catch up with a few friends. I wanted to see my son. And I wanted to get some closure on the place. Because when I left Australia, I just kind of left, you know. And I've missed the place terribly. I do miss living here. You know, how can you not miss this place, folks? It's beautiful. It's a really, really beautiful environment. Just the birds, and as you can see, it's been raining. I just missed a cyclone coming here, actually. Interesting how I'm doing that. I'm dodging cyclones all over the place. I've dodged 5 cyclones in the last 3 years, which is crazy. There was the cyclone that hit Acapulco in 2023 that I dodged, or the hurricane. There were the 2 hurricanes that hit in late 2024 that I dodged. When I was down in Zipolite in Mexico as well, I was down there for a few weeks, and then I decided to leave Zipolite, and the next week, I think, or within 2 weeks, a hurricane hit Zipolite and wiped it out from the map. And then when I decided to come back here to Australia, I didn't come back straight away. When I left Mexico, I didn't come back straight away. I went to the United States and caught up with a few people there. And while I was there, a cyclone hits Australia, the Gold Coast, where I live. Haven't had a cyclone here since 1974. But one hit at the time I was deciding to come back here. Crazy. And even when I left and went to Mexico, I had these urges to go and do it, but I just didn't do it. I put it off for like 3 weeks. Had I gone when I first had the feeling that I wanted to go, I would have been there for a 7.2 earthquake in 2021, so I missed that as well. Interesting how that works, eh? But it was fun coming back into Australia. I spent 3 hours in customs. It's just crazy. They went through my belongings with a fine-tooth comb, and they confiscated my cell phone, the de-Googled cell phone that someone had given me. Because while I was in transit, someone sent me a video that was related to the Melbourne synagogue firebombing, which we know was a false flag carried out by Jews. Of course it was. So obviously it was. But there were new hate speech laws introduced into Australia because there was a caravan I've mentioned before. There was a caravan that was found full of explosives with the address of a synagogue in it. And they said, oh, this is a big terror attack that was going to be waged against the synagogue. Weeks later, the Australian police identified that as being a fake terror attack, a false flag, which we named it on day one that it was a false flag. But the Australian police also confirmed that it was a false flag. But irrespective of that, based on that event, the finding of the truck full of explosives, Australia introduced new hate speech laws. And these laws came into play about 5 days before I came back into the country. And as I said, while I was travelling, someone sent me a video related to the Melbourne synagogue firebombing. And the police determined that this was terrorist content, that I was importing terrorist content into the country. Now, bear in mind, this is a video that was sent to me on WhatsApp. I hadn't opened the message. I hadn't seen the video. I didn't even know that the video was on my phone. And yet they seized my phone and won't give it back because they said I was importing terrorist content. Figure that one out. Like I said, for a video that I didn't even know I had, someone sent to me while I was in transit. And I didn't even know I had the video on the phone. I mean, I didn't actually even really have the video on the phone because I'd never opened the message or downloaded the video. The police would have opened the message and downloaded the video themselves, but just the fact that someone sent it to me saw me as being held liable for it. Interesting how that works. And something else they did while they were going through my luggage, because they were kind of pissed off because it was a de-Googled phone, it had a graphene operating system, they forced me to unlock the phone for them, pending a heavy fine and possible detainment. So I unlocked the phone for them, and they couldn't access any of the apps on the phone. They couldn't access the operating system. They couldn't basically download and clone the phone or mirror the phone or whatever it is they do, because all of these Androids and all these Googled phones, there's some code that the authorities can put in there, and they can just download the entire content and history of your phone and send it off to forensics and go through it and see what they can bust you for, see what you've been saying that they don't like. But apparently they can't do that with the graphene operating system. So they were there for 2 hours trying to find out what was the content of this phone. And there basically is no content on the phone because I don't use the phone. All I use it for is because I have my banking app on it. But I had to open WhatsApp on the phone and so I could clone it onto my computer. And so they found that video on WhatsApp, and that's all they could actually access was WhatsApp. They couldn't access anything else. And so they were kind of pissed off about that, I think. So they said, well, terrorist content, and they seized the phone. So, of course, and I said to them, well, it's got my banking app on it. I can't access my funds without that banking app. And so, of course, they said, well, you know, ring your bank, don't worry about it. They just took the phone anyway. So I haven't had any access to any funds while I've been here in Australia, which has been kind of tricky, but that's just what they do. But yeah, they seized the phone. And what else they did was they stole my control stick from my Osmo Pocket, the control handle that I used to do these walk and talks. Oh, looking at it, I saw them looking at it. And then when I went to do a walk and talk here on Monday, I think it's now Thursday, but on Monday I got all ready, got prepared, and was going to come here and do a walk and talk, and realized I didn't have any control handle for the camera. And I searched my luggage, and no, it's gone. It's completely gone. They literally stole my control handle. So they knew who I was. The police also showed up during the search of my luggage and said, we've been in contact with Brisbane CIB, and you have to hand your shooter's license back over because it's been revoked. And I said to them, well, you know, I got pickpocketed in 2022 when I was in San Diego, and the shooter's license went with that wallet, so I haven't got it to give to you. And I said, okay, no worries, we'll tell CIB. So they knew who I was. And they knew that I do walk and talks, which is why they stole my selfie stick. Crazy stuff, really crazy stuff. And you know, even stealing my phone, I mean, I don't know how they had the right to do that, but I didn't want to push it because with all their thorough searching and searching my laptop bag and taking the phones out, they didn't actually pull out the laptop. They never saw the laptop, which is remarkable. I mean, it's a laptop bag. It had a laptop in it. It was a laptop that was given to me last year by a couple of listeners, really helped me out when I needed a computer. I was in a terrible state. And they sent me this laptop, and it's a very thin, it's an LG Gram laptop, I think the brand of it is. And it's very thin, it's very tiny, small kind of a laptop. And they didn't see it. They just didn't see the laptop. which was remarkable. And I was kind of thinking, well, if they're going to seize the phone because of that one video on the phone, well, then they're definitely going to seize my laptop because I've got WhatsApp on my laptop, so therefore the same video would be on that. Plus, a lot of my walk and talks and clips that I've used for walk and talks and all sorts of stuff is all on my laptop, so it probably would have been far worse if they'd seen the laptop, but they never saw it. Remarkable. I mean, it's a laptop bag. They opened up every pocket. They pulled stuff out of every pocket. They confiscated what they could. Confiscated CBD oil and stuff like that, which is just topical oil that I use for arthritis. They did all of that and said, oh, you need prescriptions here. But they didn't press any charges against me for anything. They didn't fine me. And they just stole the phone and stole my selfie stick and stole my spare battery for the camera as well. But they didn't take the camera. Interesting, folks. Really interesting. So, yeah, I figured, well, they haven't pulled the laptop out, so I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to make too much of a fuss. I'm just going to be friendly. Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. And hopefully get out of their company as quickly as possible. It did take 3 hours, but I did eventually get out of their company, which was a good thing. But yeah, it's crazy. It's just crazy here. The cost of living is ridiculous. For example, a jar of olive oil, like a tin of olive oil, a friend of mine has a lot of olive oil. You can buy these 4 litre drums of olive oil. When I left in 2021, they were $18 for a 4 litre drum of olive oil. That same drum is now $58. $58. Gone up that much in 3.5 years. I went and bought 6 loin chops from the butcher. Cost $30 Australian. I couldn't believe it, folks. $30 for 6 loin chops. Unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. And so the world is just continuing to go crazy. And certainly it is here in Australia, but it is everywhere. It is in the United States as well. Like I said, Trump is doing his best to crash the world economy. He's putting applying travel restrictions, I think, to 43 countries now, or he's talking about travel restrictions for 43 countries. And of course, they're doing things along the way to make you think that they're on your side and they're doing the right thing, like releasing the JFK files. Releasing the JFK files. Actually, 80,000 files have been released. I think it's 1,123 PDF files containing 80,000 pages or 80,000 files contained in these, you know, 1,200 or 1,123 PDFs. So it's going to take, you know, a year for someone to actually go through all this. And of course, it's all going to be misdirection. It's going to be, well, you know, we investigated this and looking at the connections into this and connections into that. I bet none of it names Israel. I bet none of it names the CIA. I bet none of it names who the actual killer was. And there's every indication that the killer was actually a guy called E. Howard Hunt, who actually admitted to the shooting on his deathbed. He was a well-known CIA assassin, had been involved in many things like that. I mean, George H.W. Bush was heavily involved. Israel was heavily involved. You know, JFK had spoken out against AIPAC. He would wanted to go and investigate Israel due to its nuclear capabilities and all of that sort of stuff. And of course, suddenly he was shot in the head. And, you know, the whole concept of Lee Harvey Oswald. There's actually a film called JFK. Well, there was a film that came out like years ago starring Kevin Costner called JFK. And when that came out, there was a conspiracy film that came out called JFK or the Real JFK Files or something like that. I mean, I can't remember what it's called. I've got it on one of my hard drives, but they're all back in Mexico. And it showed you basically what went on there, how the alleged killer, Lee Harvey Oswald, was actually an FBI agent. And that all of them knew each other. Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, all of these people knew each other. They were all associated with each other. None of the killings and even the assassination of Lee Harvey Oswald, none of it really made sense. The whole thing was a staged operation. So, yeah, he can release the JFK files and stuff and say, look, you know, he's doing the right thing. He did the right thing. He's helping the people. He released Ross Ulbricht from jail. He did all this stuff. But ultimately, he's just an Israeli puppet, and he is serving the Israeli agenda right down the line, folks. And it's going right around the world. I mean, all the hate speech laws that are coming in here in Australia are all in support of Israel, all to stop the criticism of the genocide of Palestine. And what's going on in Syria, which is absolute brutality, you know, all under the guise of Arabs killing Christians and Arabs killing other Arabs. Oh, it's ISIS is out of control. ISIS is Israel. All of the heads of ISIS are Israel and always have been. I mean, ISIS, Israel Secret Intelligence Services. They even named that as what it was like 20 years ago, their new secret intelligence agency. They said, well, if it had an acronym, it would be ISIS. And of course, that's who ISIS is. It's all being run by Israel. See, Israel is about to take over the world. Israel believes their new Messiah is going to come, I think, in 2027. And they're really pushing to be in control of all things in that time. And Trump is even saying now, you know, is it possible to run for a third presidency? Because he's so loved. He's the savior of the people. It's ridiculous. There's even his press secretary the other day, he was complaining about France and all that sort of stuff, saying, well, I'd like the French to remember that if it wasn't for the United States, the people in France would be speaking German right now. Well, that's not strictly true. And if it wasn't for the people in France, America wouldn't exist, because who won the American War of Independence? You know, they were flailing until the French arrived and supported them and helped them and actually gave the United States the Statue of Liberty after the event. They're actually asking for that back now. The French are saying, you need to give us the Statue of Liberty back, because you're sort of shitting on us and you're shitting on the world, and America really isn't the land of liberty anymore. So it's interesting how all this plays out. Of course, it's all theatre, but it's interesting how it plays out, isn't it? It really is. You know, it's got to the point, folks. I mean, I even wonder, I mean, why do I do these videos? You know, all the stuff that's happened, I mean, I've tried to talk about all this for the last 17 years on air and prevent all of this stuff happening, you know, prevent the world from ever degrading to the point that it has. And it really is degrading, folks. It's degraded massively since that time. I mean, you look at what's happening now, and you got to wonder, you know, is it really worth even doing this? I mean, is it really worth trying to save a world that doesn't seem to want to save itself? There's a nice little stone statue top there. Lots of interesting stuff around the place. As you can see, the house has been painted. It was yellow last time I was here. The maloka and everything's still looking really good. Yeah. Yeah, and what's really happening now, I mean, all the advent of AI and all that sort of stuff, this is all the stuff we warned about. You might remember years ago, like in 2009, I think, or maybe 2010 in Transformation, I spoke about the fact that they're creating computers out of living human brain cells. Well, they've just announced that, yes, they're doing that. There's an Australian startup company which has created a new computer out of living brain cells, human brain cells. It calls them captive human brain cells. That's very inspirational, isn't it? Captive human brain cells. Who do they capture them from? Captive brain cells. It's an interesting way of putting it, isn't it, folks? Now, I've often talked about how consciousness could be contained within a mainframe. And of course, all the stuff they show you, all the new tech that they show you, is actually old tech. I mean, if they're showing you, it's because they can already do it. Yeah, they're not developing it. They've already got it developed, and now they've got to create some sort of a scenario to make you believe it's just new technology, and this is kind of where it's going, and this is what they're inventing, and there's exciting new times ahead. Now, it's all been done already, folks. So they're years ahead of what they tell us they are, and they've done everything to keep us back. I mean, the destruction of free energy and the the loss of all of that sort of stuff. And free energy is all around the place, folks. I mean, the ether was always known as the fifth element, and it's all around us. Even with what Tesla was doing, I mean, he was just looking at ways of wirelessly transmitting energy. We used to do that before. I mean, all of the bells and the bell towers and the mercury and everything that was, this is where they took all the bells and hid all this stuff and destroyed all the old world because they didn't want us having free energy. Because if we had free energy, then we would have basically unlimited resources. Now, all the resources we're pulling out of the earth to build all these things that we think we need, we don't actually need any of them. We had an incredibly vibrant world, and we all had access to free energy. See, the cost of living, all that sort of stuff, putting a roof over your head, heating your house, electricity bills, all of these sorts of things, this is what keeps us behind. If you've got free energy, and you can just go into the forest and build any type of structure you want, and hook up a couple of wires to a tree and suddenly have electricity, then you've got basically unlimited freedom. You don't need to encroach upon anybody else. You don't need to go and steal any other resources from any other countries. We don't need oil. We don't need coal. We don't need any of this sort of stuff. It's just an excuse to rip up the earth, make the place uninhabitable, and to go and bomb and steal from other countries and depopulate the world. And the world is being rapidly depopulated, folks. It really is. It's remarkable. You know, and we had all of this free energy. Even the guy where I'm staying at the moment has got a couple of Tesla coils in his house. He's got like three Tesla coils in his lounge room and dining room and kitchen. And he's got this little jug that he carries around that he just puts a light bulb in it and it just lights. And with these coils, I mean, they're running off like a 9-volt battery and things like this, or a power supply. He's got a big one in his lounge room which runs off a power supply. You know, the coils that he's created aren't actually about producing free energy. What they are about is demonstrating the transmission of wireless electricity to other devices. Like, he's able to light light bulbs without them being connected to anything, you know, fluorescent light bulbs. And it's pretty remarkable what he's done. And I'll switch to a video now that I've just recorded in his house, and check this out. So here is this Tesla coil, folks, I was telling you about. This friend of mine's, mate, he calls this a parasitic capacitor. Like, it's sitting in his lounge room. I don't know whether you can see at the very top here where that wire's coming out at the top. There's a little flame coming off the end of that wire there, and that is what is connecting it with the ether and making the connection back down to here. Like I said, it's got a power source, but what it's about is the wireless transmission of energy. So you check this out, spin this around so you can see it and you can see me. Hopefully you can see it. There it is, it's right there, I'm standing next to it. See this? This is a fluorescent glow, and there's no connection between the globe and the device, and no connection here on the globe, on the fluorescent light. A bit all over the place here, folks, but as you can see, this is connecting. I touched it, shouldn't do that. This is lighting up. You see, when it comes close to the capacitor, it's lighting up. Quite amazing, really, that it's doing this. If you can see the coil behind me, I don't want to touch those cables, but you see how this is lighting up. It's quite remarkable. Look, I'll spin this around again. There's the coil, and here's the bulb. You see that? That's completely lighting up as I bring it close to the bulb, and I pull it away and it's not lighting up anymore. But when I bring it close, sorry, a bit all over the place with the camera here, folks, but see, it lights up when I get close, and actually gets quite warm when it gets close to the device, which is amazing. You got, see this little handle down here, whoops, this little thing here. I get this, pick this up, put it near the coil, and look at that, it lights up. And look, there's no wires there. See, these wires are just hanging out in the air, and this thing lights up as it gets close. Pretty remarkable place. There it is here. See this? And I move it close to the machine and it lights up. So this is the wireless transmission of energy, which is pretty trippy. And check this other little device he's got out here as well. This little thing here, this is a little jug that he carries around. It's kind of like his night light. There it is there. A little Tesla coil. You turn this on and it lights up with no wires attached. Again, you've got this little wire sticking out of the top. You just take this globe out of here. There's no connection. You look down there, it's just a rod, just a PVC pipe with wire tapped around it, no connections. And you just put this in here and it lights up. And look at this, you bring another globe next to it. And look at this. This is still in the packet, as you can see. Like, it's still in the packet, there's nothing connected to it. And it lights up when you put it next to the coil here. You see that? Quite remarkable, folks. There it is. You see? And if I bring it over close to this one, again, look at that. It lights up when it gets close to the Tesla coil. So this is the wireless transmission of energy through what is called a parasitic capacitor. And like I said, that's the little spark out here, whoops, which is connecting it to the ether. Where is it? That little wire there, you see? A little flame coming off the end of that wire. Trippy stuff, folks, really trippy. And so this is the sort of stuff my friend's working on. He's a bit of a mad scientist, this guy. He's a very cluey sort of a guy. And he's got Tesla coils all over his house, which is pretty amazing. I just thought I'd share that with you. I know this filming is pretty bad filming because I've got me with my selfie stick. But yeah, that's the device. Tesla coil in the lounge room. It's quite tall. It's about, the coil itself's probably 4 feet high. And wireless transmission of energy, folks. Again, there's that handle on the ground there. Now all I've got to do is pick that up and move that close to the coil. And see, she lights up with no wires. Pretty remarkable, folks. Pretty remarkable. It's actually quite a distance. It's like 4 feet away from that now. There you go, now it's gone out. Get a little bit closer and it lights up again. You see? Actually lights up more when you touch it because you kind of ground it out, I think. So yeah, wireless transmission of energy, folks, it's quite possible. And that's the stuff Tesla was working on. Yeah, see, it's about the wireless transmission of energy. And like I said, that little flame that you saw coming out of the top of the wire there, which is just hanging in the air and there's a flame attached to it, that's actually that copper wire pulling energy out of the ether, or putting energy into the ether. I can't remember which way he said. But that's how it works. And it's about the wireless transmission of energy. And Tesla was building some of these really big coils at Niagara Falls that we're going to send out energy, or it's going to go across the whole United States. And all you would have needed in a device like a toaster or an oven or a sewing machine or even a car would be a Tesla coil receiver in that vehicle, and you would pick up the energy that was being transmitted from his towers. So, you know, things like the Tesla company having its electric cars, it's an absolute fraud, because these cars contain huge lithium batteries that you have to go and charge up. That isn't what Tesla had in mind. Tesla had in mind a car with a coil in the car that was literally picking up energy from the ether You would never have to charge it up. It would go all the time. And that's what he was setting these big coils up at Niagara Falls for, which is what I shut him down and never completed the project, because they weren't going to be able to meter it and charge people for electricity. So even Elon Musk stealing the name Tesla for his vehicles is disgraceful, because he's actually doing the exact opposite of what Tesla wanted to do with his technology, and indeed what Tesla technology even actually does. So he's an absolute fraud. I mean, it's understandable why he is so hated, but I mean, again, folks, there's no point just going and destroying Tesla cars and destroying Tesla dealerships. That's not going to achieve anything. It's just going to work and play into their hands. What you've got to do is just boycott the company. That's what's going to make a difference. Violence, it just plays into their hands, folks. There's no hope for us by employing violence. And there might be people out there say, well, that's crazy, you know, you need guns to get rid of these people. Well, I don't think you do. You know, the whole system that they're pushing on people is a puppet show. It's an act. You know, these are all actors, all these people. Presidents and prime ministers, they're all actors. And it's your belief that the system is real, which is the whole problem. That's the core of the issue altogether, folks, is people's belief that the system is real. When you know it's a fiction, there's nothing really to fight against, you know. You just got to look at it through a different type of eyes, I think, you know. But yeah, I mean, looking at all this stuff, I mean, is there any point in even coming and doing these videos, folks? I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and it's not going to change until people stop complying with their own slavery. I've done 16, 17 years of these videos trying to prevent us from ever ending up in the situation we're now in. Now we're in this situation. It's just nuts. Absolutely nuts. You think of what we had. You think of what we had in the old world. And you think of what we still could do. If people simply just did it. Yeah, you don't need violence to do that. All you've got to do is stop complying with their system. Step outside it. You know, if you figure out how this free energy stuff works, well, use it. Deploy it in your own home. Put the specs and the designs online so other people can do it. And just step away from it. I mean, if everybody did it, it would make a difference. But, you know, is everybody going to do it? That's the thing. I mean, even with what I do and what Jeff does and what other people in the independent media do, because we get so much support, I get so many positive emails and you get so many views on your videos and all this sort of stuff, you think, wow, you know, the world is waking up. That's one of the reasons why I spent some time in the United States before I came back to Australia. I actually went to New York City, Manhattan, and I was staying like one block from Times Square just for a couple of nights, just to have a look at the mental state of New York.
Times Square.
And yeah, that was 8 p.m. on a Friday night, and these people are doomed. They really are. Even the hotel I was staying in, I tried to pay with cash, and they said, no, we're a cash-free hotel. And when I said to the guy, well, cash-free, I said, you don't want them to eliminate cash. You don't want to go digital money, because if you go digital, then they've got you. Once they remove cash from the equation, they've got you, and they can control you in everything you do. And the guy sitting at the desk who had this kind of, he was a black guy and he had this kind of sideways haircut and he looked very feminine. He was like, ooh, you know, he was very shocked that I would say such a thing. And I just thought, wow, you are completely doomed. You are so asleep. You're completely doomed. I mean, you look at some of the state of the big cities in the United States. You know, if you really think people are waking up, go and have a look at some of these places and you'll realize that, wow, America has fallen. It's already fallen. And unless the people stop complying with what the American government is doing, then the world's going to fall with it. And Trump is doing his best to crash the U.S. economy, folks. It's going to happen. And he's trying to bring down the world economy with him. And as I said earlier as well, I said once they deport all of the, you know, illegal immigrants, they're basically deporting the labor force out of the United States. And you're not going to have anybody who wants to do these menial jobs. Well, I said that a few months ago, and predictably now you're seeing crops, like there's orange crops and stuff, that are, the oranges are just lying all over the ground. There's no one there to pick them because a lot of people don't want that sort of a menial job. They can get good welfare payments from the government anyway, so they don't want to go out and pick fruit. They don't want to do anything like that. So, and there's been so many food processing plants that have shut down through COVID and all of this. So, you know, they're really depleting the United States. And Trump is putting on a great theater show for people to make it feel like he's doing what he can to make America great again. You know, wants to annex Canada, wants to annex Greenland, wants to take over the Panama Canal, releasing the JFK files, you know, saying we're getting rid of all the evil people out of government. Well, all the evil people are actually in government. All the evil people, the most evil people in government, are all dual Israeli citizens. Which is why you've got so many government officials saying we need to support Israel. Israel is our greatest ally. It's their greatest ally because they're Israeli citizens. It's not your greatest ally. It's actually the cause of the destruction of the United States, the usurious system which has bankrupted everybody, keeping people permanently locked in debt. This has all been done by the same people. And they're not your friends, folks. They're really not. I mean, you know, they bombed the USS Liberty. Yeah, you know, Operation Levon or the Levon Affair in Libya. There's so many things they've done, so many false flag attacks they've done. They're running the whole ISIS operation. They're destroying the Middle East, getting the United States to destroy the Middle East for them. I mean, $16 billion in weapons, while there's people homeless in Philadelphia, messed up on fentanyl and all sorts of stuff like that. You know, LA's been burned to the ground. New York is just a third world shithole. It really is, folks. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. I mean, walking down Manhattan near Times Square and there's vomit on the sidewalk and it's just like, it's just horrendous, folks. It really is. The United States has really deteriorated in the last few years and it's been a shocking thing to see. From someone who goes there quite a bit, I've been going there for a good many years, to see that it has degraded to this point is shocking, folks. But I mean, even in saying that, folks, I mean, like I said, I'm just kind of repeating myself on these videos. Now, what do you do in the face of what we are facing as a species? What do you do? You know, all you can do is try to encourage people to stand up for themselves and to view the system as the fiction that it is. It's like a big TV show. I mean, if you didn't have a TV and you didn't have a cell phone, how would you know any of this sort of stuff was going on anyway? How would you even be complying with any of it? If they suddenly started doing this and you weren't being programmed by the news reports and by X and Twitter and Instagram and all of this stuff that they feed you, how would you even know any of it was going on? Wouldn't you just be living your life? That would be a much better way to be. But what do you do in the face of this? I mean, I can encourage people to stand up, but again, they want you to give them some sort of a format, some sort of a, you know, what do you do? What do you mean stand up? You know, how do I free myself? What is the steps I need to do? Well, the steps you need to take are to simply acknowledge your own value and realize that no one's here to rule you. You don't have rulers. You don't need rulers. If you operate at integrity, you don't need any of that stuff. But the world is just, it's like a roller coaster that's completely out of control. It's like a ship sailing at full speed off the edge of the earth, and there's no captain, there's no pilot. It's just like a train with no driver. It's just careening down the tracks and it's heading for ultimate disaster, and it's just going around and around in circles, and eventually it's going to fall off the tracks and everyone's going to be looking for who to blame. When they could have stepped off the train at any time, you could step out of this system at any time, folks. And with the destruction of Palestine and the destruction of the Middle East and the destruction of our countries along with it, and like it's hard to see. I mean, you look at this place, it's paradise. You look at even Australia, and it's a beautiful place, but the cost of living is incredible. You can buy food appliances, like you can buy frying pans and sandwich makers and coffee machines and all sorts of stuff dirt cheap now. All the appliances are really, really cheap. But you can't afford any of the food to prepare in these appliances. And even with the cyclone they had here, I mean, they really put the fear into the people, told them it was going to be this huge, devastatingly destructive event. And it filtered out and ended up being a Category 2 cyclone, which actually reduced down to a severe rainstorm, really. So it was a complete non-event. But there was power lines that came down, there were trees that came down, and they made sure that they've spent weeks, like it's been like roads have been closed for 10 days. The place where I'm staying at, they had no electricity for 10 days. They could have got it on a lot quicker than that, but they didn't, because they didn't want it to seem like it was a non-event. They didn't want to lose face. They wanted you to think, oh no, we've got all this destruction and we need to take all this time repairing it. And no, it was a non-event, but they just don't want you to think that. They want you to think it's worse than what it is. There's roads closed all over the place. And when you drive through the parts where the road's closed, the only reason the road is closed is because there's council vehicles parked there. They're not actually doing anything. You know, it just slows down traffic and it slows down this and just inconveniences people. And that's their plan, folks. Like I said, they don't want to lose face and have to admit that it was a non-event. But it was, and that's just the way they operate. So yeah, I mean, like I said, what do I do with these videos? What do I come in and talk about? You know, it's just been the same kind of thing. I prefer doing the conferences, actually. Going and talking to people in real time. Just meeting people. Traveling. There's a conference supposed to be happening here in Australia in June. It was May, but it's June now. It's an award conference. But I honestly don't know whether I'll be here in June. I don't know whether I will last this long. I really don't. I mean, I want to catch up with my friends, which I've done. I wanted to arrange some of the stuff that I've still got here and move it to other places. I mean, I've still got a lot of stuff here. I will eventually come back here. But I wanted to sort all that out. I wanted to see my friends and I wanted to see my son. And I should be seeing my son within the next couple of weeks. But apart from that, I mean, I've done everything else that I had planned to do that I even came back for. So I just don't know how long I will actually be here. It's kind of a weird thing. And when I leave again, I honestly don't know when I will come back. I mean, if ever. Now, as I said, I can't move back into the shed for the moment because it's been turned back into a print shop. A lot of people say, well, why do you want to live in a shed anyway? I love the shed. It's a beautiful shed. And I was happy in the shed. I've actually been happier in that shed than I've been anywhere else in my entire life that I've ever stayed. And I do miss it. And once it becomes available again, well, maybe I will come back to Australia. But for the moment, I just don't know. So I'll probably head back to Mexico soon. I've got to go to Europe in September and speak at Liverpulco. You can probably get tickets for that already, folks, as well. And if you do want to come to Liverpulco in September in Liberland, next to Serbia, well, in Serbia, Croatia, around there, the border between the two, then you can get a ticket from, I think, from the Anarchapulco website. You'll be able to get a ticket. Use my name, Egan, for a 10% discount. You'll probably get tickets to the next Anarchapulco as well, which is going to be held again. The last Anarchapulco that they had in February was actually in Acapulco, but I think that's the last time it's going to be held at the Secret Garden in Acapulco. Now they're talking about moving it to somewhere like possibly Puerto Vallarta or something like that. But it will be happening. And again, you can get tickets for that as well. The link's below for Anarchapulco, and you can use my name, Egan, and get yourself a 10% discount. But that's my next sort of conference thing. I mean, I've got this thing here in June, Whether I'll be here in person or whether I'll do it virtually, I still don't know. I don't know whether I will still be in Australia in June. But if I am, then I'll probably be there in person. Otherwise, I'll be doing it virtually. And then the next conference after that is Liberpulco in September. And that's kind of the plan. I mean, you know, maybe just kind of float around and then end up in Europe in September. Possibly be here in June, like I said. I really don't know at this stage. And then, yeah, go to Liverpulco in September. And I plan to be back in Mexico before the end of the year. So, yeah, and I'll bring you walk and talks while I'm here in Australia. I won't be always coming here and doing them at this place. I just wanted to come and do my first walk and talk after my break back at this place so you know where I was. And like I said, a lot of people recognise the place. Peacocks aren't here anymore, unfortunately. I think the neighbours have kind of chased them off. But they were wild birds anyway. They just like to come and hang around because they liked the feel of the place. And, you know, they kind of liked me and we got along quite well. A lot of people don't like them because they're noisy and they leave huge turds all over the place. But I didn't mind cleaning up after them. I didn't mind the noise they made. I just liked them. I think they're good birds. They've got great character. So I kind of miss them. It's strange to have them not here. We had up to 10 peacocks at this place at one time when I was staying here. And then there was a whole family of them that had sort of moved in pretty permanently. But they all seem to be gone now, which is kind of a shame. But yeah, I just wanted to come in and check in with you folks. Like I said, I mean, maybe I'll go down another direction from now on. Maybe I'll start going back to spiritual concepts. Maybe I'll start talking about Tartaria and the lost world that we used to have and free energy and things like that. Because it's hard to talk about the system and how to extricate ourselves from the system when it's gone this far and people are still looking for the plan, you know, like the step-by-step action they need to take when, as I've been saying for so many years, the only action you need to take is to be the best version of yourself you could ever be. Refuse to step outside your moral compass, regardless of what legislation tells you you need to do, and stop complying with your own slavery. That is the only way out of the system. To be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be, that is how to extricate yourself from the system. If people aren't going to do that, well, coming and discussing world events, it's all very interesting, but it's all very predictable. I mean, Trump is doing exactly what we said he would do. He's not your friend. He's not making America great again. He's making Israel great again, as was always the plan. And his family did it before him. His father was a huge supporter of Israel. His father or his grandfather actually stole Nikola Tesla's technology. So it's all one big club, folks. It's all one big club. Like George Carlin said, big club and you ain't in it. You know, that's what it is. You know, and I come on and I talk about this sort of stuff and it just becomes like a boring kind of a news report. Like I'm just reporting on mainstream stuff because it's happening so quickly. But you know, it's all designed to lead the world to a certain point and that's where it's going. It's always been going to that point. This is stuff that I predicted when I was in high school. And I've done everything I can since those days, like over the last 50 years, to try to wake people up to what this control grid is doing and where it's leading you. And all this AI stuff, this smart technology, is, I've said before, soon we won't need government. Soon you'll just have someone like Trump in there as a figurehead. You don't really need government there to make the decisions because AI is going to make all the decisions for you. AI would determine who has committed a crime because they're down on social credit points or whatever. You know, haven't complied with this or haven't complied with that. And they're all leading towards the same direction. You're not going to need government. It's going to be AI. Once you're down on certain social credit points, well, AI will have already determined what your correction process should be. And that'll be the way it works. So you're not going to need judges, you're not going to need lawyers, you're not going to need a court system. All you're going to need is the AI system and the enforcement officers who go and pick up people who have offended or dropped below social credit points or carbon credit points, whatever they want. They've all got you in your electric vehicles, which are all geo-fenced, and you know, if they decide it's another scamdemic, they can lock you down into your 5 kilometre zone. I mean, all this sort of stuff. This is all going to be put in place. You're not going to need government, folks. AI is going to determine the whole thing. And that's the danger of it, you know, and digitising all the cash. Once they've digitised the cash, they've got you. If you ever speak outside the system, well, they just freeze your bank accounts. They've done that to me before. They've done that to other people. They're continuing to do it. You know, anything at all that raises any attention, they will ask you to, you know, contact the Compliance Association to make sure you're not doing the wrong thing. I mean, it's nuts, folks. It's nuts. So, you know, it's like you're just coming on here and narrating the end of the world. So what is the point of even continuing to do these videos? You know, the whole idea was to empower people, inspire people, and prevent this from ever happening. That's always been the plan. And to let people know, like, I do this because it needs to be done. I don't do it for any other reason. I mean, I don't do it as a career choice. It certainly isn't a good career choice being an activist, folks. You know, that's why I've never charged for anything. I've never monetized anything. I've never had anything for sale. I do this because I want people to know that it's important, and I do it because it needs to be done. Not as a career choice. A lot of people say, well, if you do that, how come you can afford to travel all the time? Well, I'll tell you, traveling, getting cheap flights and traveling and staying with friends and staying in cheap motels is a lot cheaper than just living in Australia, folks. The cost of living here is insane, like $800 for a tiny little unit for the week, $1,200. People are paying $1,200 for like a two-bedroom house and stuff. What sort of a wage do you have to be getting to be able to afford this type of rent? There's 3 million homeless people in Australia now. It wasn't like that when I left. I mean, this population is only 27 million people in Australia, and 3 million of them are homeless. That's a hugely high percentage of people that are homeless in this country. I go out at night all over the Gold Coast here, and there's vans parked all through parks and all through council zones and stuff, and you know, tents set up, and people living in their vans and living in their cars. It's crazy, folks. It's absolutely nuts. And that's what the world's become. And like I said, you know, for $58 for a drum of olive oil, $30 for six lamb chops. I mean, it's ridiculous. How can anybody afford to do this? The price of everything, like $6.60 for a bottle of milk. It's just ridiculous, folks. It's like $6 or $7 for a loaf of bread. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that's just happened in the last 3.5 years since I've been away. The price of everything is like literally tripled, if not quadrupled, in the time that I've been away, which is only 3.5 years. I don't know how the people haven't noticed this. I guess they have. But it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. See, what do I come and talk about besides narrating the end of the world? It's kind of crazy, folks. Kind of crazy. But yeah, I think that's about all I've got to say. Like I said, I mean, I could go through all the details of all these things that are happening, go through all the news reports and all the stuff like I normally do. But is there a point to that? I mean, there's so many people out there in the independent media that are bringing you, okay, the JFK files have been released and this is happening and that's happening, and all the information's out there. But like I said, it's just like you're narrating the collapse of society, the collapse of the world. And that's no way to empower people. So there's got to be some empowerment comes into these videos, which is what I originally started off doing. That was the original intention. So yeah, crazy stuff, folks. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. Again, same thank yous I always give. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I haven't responded to many of them at all. Like, I've been mostly offline for the last like 15 days or 3 weeks. I've been mostly offline. Like, I haven't even been on the internet. Where I'm staying at the moment's got like the worst internet connection in the universe, I think. Stuff I haven't experienced since back in the days of dial-up. Actually, I think dial-up was actually a little bit better. Poor guy, like, I'm staying with, he's been having this battle with the phone company for the last 8 years trying to get the internet connection that he's actually paying for. And all they're saying is, well, you know, go digital and get a cell phone and do this and do that. And he's going, no, I want a landline. I want to use my computer. I want to get the service that I'm paying for. And poor guy, I mean, it's horrendous service that he's got. But yeah, thank you to all the people who do send me so many kind emails. And like I said, I'm at a bit of a crossroads, folks. I don't know what I will be doing from this point. I honestly don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what country I'm going to be in. Of course, it's limited to how many countries it can be in. I can only really be in Australia or Mexico because they're the only places that I have any type of residency. And I don't have to do border jumps and stuff all the time. But I do have friends all around the world. I've got plenty of places to stay. It just means I have to do border hops when I'm there. But I've got to figure out where I really want to be. And I've got to figure out what direction I want these videos to go in, or even if I want to continue doing these videos. I mean, there's got to be a point to it, you know what I mean? The point of it all has been freedom. And that freedom is rapidly being eroded from people. And as I said, you know, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world, and we're fast heading towards that now. I mean, there's areas of the United States that virtually look like Palestine now. Admittedly, they haven't been bombed, but they're getting pretty decrepit. And it's happening in all Western countries. Western countries are being infiltrated. The population in Western countries is being displaced. And nobody seems to really be doing anything about it because they believe they can vote people in and vote people out, and it's the politicians that are going to make a difference. No, it isn't. These are all billionaires. They don't care about you. Why is it that every politician is a billionaire? How does that work out? And they enter office with maybe just, you know, a couple of hundred thousand in savings, and then they get in office, they've been in there 3 to 5 years, 10 years, and suddenly they're worth, you know, 20, 30, 40 million on their wage, which is like, you know, only like a quarter of a million a year. So how do they suddenly accumulate all of this money? Because they're all bought and paid for, folks. All of them bought and paid for. So you're not going to get any remedy from the system. The only remedy you're going to get is when you realize the system is fiction. And that's been the point of the whole thing. That's what I've been trying to say to people for years and years. So what do you do from this point? What do you do from this point, folks? So I have to figure out a purpose for these videos. If the purpose is just putting people in fear and pointing out the obvious and pointing out how bad everything is, well, is that a good purpose? If it isn't empowering people and leading towards positive change, then what is the purpose? Maybe I should just talk about more human things, spiritual enlightenment, advancement of the soul, ancient history, what's been stolen from us, what we could possibly get back. But again, is there a point to that when we're moving into this totalitarian dystopia? Is by doing that and just discussing spiritual concepts and things, well, am I ignoring the obvious? Am I ignoring the fact that we're in a train that is heading for a cliff? And unless we step off this train, it's going to destroy everything. I mean, how do you ignore that? How do I talk about spiritual concepts and positive concepts in people's lives, knowing that there's a genocide going on in Gaza and I'm not talking about it and I'm ignoring it? How do I do that in any conscience? So like I said, folks, I'm in a bit of a crossroads. I've got to figure out where I'm going and what the point of this exercise actually is. You know, or should I just disconnect altogether and go and live on the mountain and watch the freak show and watch the world collapse from a distance? These are the types of things I've been thinking about. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm at a crossroads, folks. But yeah, I mean, thank you to the people who do email me and stuff anyway. And thank you to the people that still support what's going on. Actually, if you could give me any support, folks, I could really use some at the moment. I'm in a bit of a difficult situation here at the moment. And if you ever thought of making a contribution, now would be a good time to do it. I know I've said that before. And I know everybody's having a hard time at the moment, but I guess it's just coming for all of us. So, yeah. But if you can support me and offer any help this month, it would be great. Obviously, there's been virtually no contributions this month because I've had virtually no videos come out this month. But, yeah, maybe just think about that. But, of course, I mean, look after yourself first because everybody is having a hard time at the moment. But thank you to all those people who have contributed in the past. I really do appreciate, folks. You are the only people that have kept this show on the road. Again, if you do want to come to Liverpulco or in Acapulco, you will find the links below. You can go and get tickets. Get in early and you'll get cheaper tickets. So it's a good idea if you're thinking of coming to get the early bird tickets. And you can use my name, Egan, as the coupon. Same if you want a Tesla machine as well. I actually brought my Tesla machine to Australia with me, but it got damaged in transit and won't switch on now. So that's another reason why I'm thinking of going back to Mexico pretty soon, because I want to get the Tesla machine fixed. I had hoped to use it on my sister while I was here. She suffers fibromyalgia, which of course, you know, complicates all sorts of other issues. And I really was hoping to use the Tesla machine on her, and so was she. But unfortunately, it doesn't work at the moment. So I've got to take that back to the people in Mexico and get them to look at it and repair it. My friend here who builds the Tesla coils and things tried to. He had a look at it. The switch was broken, the on-off switch. We replaced the switch. And he can't see anything physically wrong with it. Like, he can't see anything blown or anything like that. But he still can't get it going. This statue here, folks, it's obviously a fountain statue. She's got the jug, which is supposed to have water coming out of it. It's cool that he's got this sort of stuff around the place. I do miss this place, folks. It's a great place. Really good. And I did enjoy living here. And I probably will again at some stage. But yeah, so I can't use the Tesla machine, which is a bit of a problem. And I can't access my bank accounts at the moment, which is a bit of a problem. And I've also got some crypto in limbo at the moment. I transferred some crypto from Bitcoin into USDT, and they put the transfer on hold. The compliance company put the transfer on hold. I've got to send them photo ID and all sorts of stuff. They want to know who I am. They want to know all about all past transactions, which is interesting because I haven't made any. And they want to know where this crypto came from and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. So it's a bit of a nightmare for me as well. So I've got all sorts of ongoing problems, folks. Welcome back to Australia, you know. So, yeah. Like I said, I don't know how long I'm going to last here. I'll be lucky if I last a month, to be honest, folks. It's just this feeling of oppression. Just this feeling of control in this country, and it's such a beautiful country, and it's such a shame to feel this way about it, but that's just the way it feels. So yeah, interesting how it all works, isn't it? You know, we go full circle, come back to our roots. But like I said, I did want to come here for some closure anyway, so at least I've got that. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. And like I said, thank you to all the people who sent me so many emails. Thank you to all the people who have made a contribution. Thank you to all the people on the front line. Thank you to all the people in the alternate media. Do keep a lookout for this event here in Australia as well in June. It's being run by Jamie McIntyre. I'm not sure where it's going to be. Gold Coast Auditorium. Wherever that is, Gold Coast Auditorium. I haven't actually heard of the place. It's probably Broadbeach or something like that. Might even be where David Icke spoke last time he was here. I'm not sure. I think that was the conference center. I don't know, folks. But the poster says Gold Coast Auditorium, wherever that may be. So check that out. And I will be speaking at that, whether it's in person or whether it's virtually. We'll be figured out in the next month or two when I decide whether I'm going to stay here or not and how long I'm going to stay here. I've got a pretty nice place. Not too far from here that I can stay in, which is really good. I've had a friend sort of provide a unit for me, which is really good. And that's the thing, folks. You know, if you're a good person, good things happen to you. So that should be a lesson for people as well. I mean, I managed to kind of breeze through a lot of my life by just being the best version of myself that I can. And you know, I wasn't always like that. I mean, back in the early days of my life, I was a train wreck. I was my worst enemy. And nothing ever went right for me in my life. But then suddenly you realize that life is an emotional mirror. And if you adjust your perspective of reality and view everybody as in Lakesh, I am another yourself, suddenly the entire world opens up for you. When you do the wrong thing by someone, when you lie to someone, when you steal from someone, when you hurt someone, any of these things, you're really only doing it to yourself. Because that's going to come around and bite you. You know, what goes around comes around. That's just the way it works, folks. So it's important to learn these life lessons, folks, and realize that we are often our own worst enemies. It's often us who prevents us doing the things that we always wanted to do. And if we can just put that aside and step off the path that we believe we're on and just step into uncharted territory, sometimes incredible things can happen. And I never would have done all the things that I've done in my life if I had some vision or concept of where I should be going and what I should be doing. I've just been always open to suggestion. I've always been open to just doing new things and stepping off the beaten track. And I've had a really incredibly colourful, creative and interesting life because of that. I've been to so many places and done so many things that I never planned to do. Because as I've said before, if I did plan to do things, I never would have done all the stuff that I've done because I would have had other plans. So I never really fell into that trap. So just believe in yourself. I mean, now is the time, folks, where you've got to decide whether you're going to be part of the system or whether you're going to separate from it completely. And separating it from it completely is really the only way to escape it, because it's the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. And I don't particularly want to come and just be narrating that sort of crap and talking about all of these things the politicians are doing and the genocide of Palestine, which is moving into the genocide of Syria and the genocide of Lebanon. And now the United States is bombing the Houthis, so we're talking about the genocide of Yemen as well. And of course, soon they're going to be arcing up against Egypt and wanting to control Egypt as well, because it's all part of the greater Israel project. Now, Israel is really establishing itself as the leader of the world, and anybody who criticizes it is anti-Semitic. I mean, they're bombing UN workers and stuff in Gaza and Syria and Lebanon. They don't care. They just bomb anybody. It doesn't matter. You know, they say people can't hide behind human shields. We won't allow that, so we'll just bomb them all anyway. War crimes, folks. It's all war crimes. Everything Israel is doing is war crimes. I mean, the very existence of Gaza Strip is a war crime. Collective punishment. Even if there's people like in Hamas and these people in there that are doing the wrong thing, apparently, we're being told, or created by Israel anyway, but even if there's factions in there that are doing the wrong thing, putting the entire place under blockade is collective punishment, which is a war crime. Breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. Maybe that's why the 33 comes into everything, hey? The fact that they just don't give a shit about human rights, they don't give a shit about war crimes, they're going to commit all they want. And that's something that I've said is an often, you know, this is a way you can discuss your own government and remove authority from them. Because if your government supports Israel, whether you agree there's a genocide going on in Gaza or not, which it most definitely is, but whether you agree with that or not, if your government is supporting Israel, well, Israel is carrying out war crimes by simply putting Gaza under blockade. It's been under blockade since 2005. This is ridiculous. Or 2015. It's been, 2005, it's been under blockade. 20 years, it's been under blockade. And this is a war crime. This is collective punishment. So if your government is supporting Israel while it's carrying out war crimes, then your government is supporting war crimes, and therefore your government is invalid. It has abdicated its privilege to govern. Because there isn't any country on earth where it says, yes, you should support war crimes. It's against the law in every country on earth to support war crimes, and all of our governments are doing it. So therefore, you owe your government no obedience. You owe them no respect. You owe them no allegiance. You owe them no respect for any authority they may think they have because they've invalidated themselves by supporting war crimes. I've been saying this since 2012. So, you know, that's the way out, folks, but a lot of people can't see the forest for the trees. But anyway, I'm going to go. Nice to come and chat with you. Bit of a personal video today, not too much about world affairs, which is good. I'm sick of world affairs. Like I said, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. If you can't see it, well, I don't know, you must be brain dead, but I think most people can. And thank you for letting me have this time out. I would have come and done a video for you earlier, but we had no electricity for the first 4 days that I was back. And then when I did come to do a video, I found out that the border police had stolen my selfie stick, so I couldn't. I had to order another one. They're a discontinued line, by the way, very hard to get hold of now. But I had a friend who did find me one, and so now I'm back in action. And I'll bring you another video as soon as I'm able, folks. But thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And again, if anybody can help this month, I would really appreciate it. And please take very good care until we speak next, which won't be long. It'll just be a few days. I'll bring you another video once I get a little bit more settled where I am. And I'll look forward to speaking to you then, folks. Please take very good care until then. Inlet Cash.
That was yours. We thought that baggie belonged to Hunter. You know, I think the Secret Service probably still has it somewhere.
I have been stealing the money.
I'm sorry, what's that now?
I must to speak honestly. I steal many of USA dollars to Ukraine. Millions. Some dollars for some oligarchs also. Some for American bureaucrats also.
Well, we know that, but why are you telling me this?
Because, Mr. Trump, if you end war, we cannot steal any more money. We must continue war.
No, the war must end. Your people are dying, Zelensky. They're dying.
But I want to steal more money. What do you want? Fellatio? I can do it.
No, I don't want fellatio. No.
Are you sure? I did for Biden.
Okay, that is what we call oversharing. Look, there's nothing you have that I want. You're not going to convince me to keep this war going. You don't have the cards.
I not play cards.
No, I know you're not literally playing cards. It's a metaphor. It's like I'm playing 4D chess and you're playing checkers.
No, I not play checkers. There is no checkerboard, you see.
Okay, let's try this. I am in the driver's seat, okay? Do you understand that expression?
No, but we are not in car.
No, you're right. We're not in a car. That's true.
Listen, Mr. Trump, I am actor / comedian. I crave attention. Since start of war, I get worshipped by presidents. I'm worshipped by Hollywood. If war ends, no more attention, no more worship. With all due respect, Mr. Trump, this war must last forever.
I tell you what, if you agree to end this war, we will do a remake of Friends. And you can play Ukrainian Chandler Bing. How does that sound?
Oh, I love the Friends. This is favorite show of me. I am such a Monica.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's sign the thing, and then I'll go show you the room where Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky did it.
Oh, yes, this is funny, because I just say, I'm such a Monica. Maybe we will go in a room, and you can be Bill Clinton, and I will be Monica. Yes?
You know what? Forget the room. Let's just sign the document. Does anyone have a pen? Phil? Where's Phil? I need a pen. Somebody give me a damn pen.